You are listening to the Trinity Presbyterian Church podcast from Novato, California. Here is this week's adult Sunday school class. Let me open us in prayer. Gracious God, we're very blessed again today. Lord, we need you every day, and we know that you are with us every day. But Lord, you have particularly set apart one day in week, this Lord's Day, where we can come and take refuge in you and rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ, even while we look ahead to the new creation that is ours already in Christ, but yet we know has not yet come in its full. Oh Lord, may this today be a foretaste of glory as we're gathered today in the Spirit. And even now, as we have our Sunday school class, Lord, we pray for, particularly as we look at the sacred history, to realize that this is our history, because you've brought us into this family, this special heritage. Help us, Lord, then, to grow today in knowing our background in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. All right. We have been going through biblical history. We're on the final official section of biblical history, right? We got through the Gospels, and now we're on the history of the early Christian church. Often you'll hear the language described as the early church, and I'll probably use that language at points, but I always like to also point out it's a little bit misleading when we say the early church. Why is it misleading? I'm going to ask Jim. Jim's shaking his head. I know he's got the right answer. Jim, why is it a little misleading?
Because there was a church in the Old Testament.
That's right. That's right. The church didn't actually begin at Pentecost, which we'll talk about today. The church began from the very beginning. And if you want to think about it in a formal way, you go to the early chapters of Genesis. And when Seth is born, it then has a line that says, and then they began to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's really, we see the beginning of the church there in Genesis, right? The church did not exist until then. And unfortunately, it's sometimes some of the dispensationalism that wants to think there's Israel and the church, but actually there's just the church. Which has another name called Israel, the true Israel, right? The spiritual Israel is the church. And so this is important theology to understand as we go in today and talk about this history. We're talking about the history of the church from the new covenant perspective, right? Under the old covenant, the church was administered through the Mosaic covenant. Now under the new covenant, the church continues to be administered. But it's under the new covenant. So I'm going to go ahead and share my screen for a moment as we dig into this. And this is when you grab your little handout. And all right. And Mary, let me point out, Mary, if that one little lone seat is not the ideal seat, feel free to pick wherever you like. Don't feel you have to pick the only one that happens to be one left. So. We got plenty of space. Pick where you want to sit. So, okay. Let's see. I got the bulletin here. Not the bulletin. The timeline. I could have done this timeline lots of different ways, and this isn't really the best timeline. I'm not sure I really like the timeline, but the way I put it together, you couldn't put all the details on here. But I put on the top the Roman emperors. That's often how people like to do history. They like to do history from the big name people, the kings, the emperors, that kind of thing. And so I figured I'd separate on the top the different emperors, just to give you a little sense, if you think of history from that perspective, of kind of where we're at in the timeline. But then on the bottom in the red, I've got the different biblical events of note to point out, and some extra biblical notes as well there. But you notice first, Pentecost from around 30 AD, pouring out of the Spirit, evangelism first in Jerusalem, Stephen gets martyred, and then evangelism begins to spread Judea and Samaria. The apostle Paul is converted and commissioned and is really that apostle to the world, not to say he's the only missionary, but he's sent as a special apostle to the Gentiles. Then we see that Paul has his first missionary journey. Then we got the Jerusalem Council, Paul's second missionary journey, his third missionary journey. Then his journey to Rome, where he's imprisoned under house arrest. We'll talk about how he likely had a fourth missionary journey. I'll explain what I mean when we get there. But basically, when you look at the different epistles, you can glean that there was ongoing ministry of Paul after that Roman imprisonment, where he did continued mission work. And so often we refer to that as his fourth missionary journey. We'll talk about that. Destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, not recorded in the scriptures, but prophesied in the scriptures. And that's when destruction happened, is in 70 AD. And then the death of the Apostle John, it was approximately 98 AD. That would have been that's typically understood to be the last of the original 12 apostles in terms of his death, that he lived to the longest. And so that'll bring us through what we have here in the early Christian church. So as you'll see as we go along, I'm going to be bringing us mainly through Acts, but I'm going to try to bring in and reference some of the data from the other letters as we go along too. So what we have, right, is you've got Acts as a history book, historical narrative, but then you got these different letters, and there's little historical nuggets that are mentioned in there. And some of the letters that allows us to more accurately identify when they were in the history. Others maybe use our educated best guesses. But that's kind of what I'll do with those. I'll try to bring some references as we go along. But largely, we're going to be governed by the book of Acts as our history book. That's the plan. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing my screen here, and I guess I should spotlight my video for you guys. There we go. Let's get started. Let's turn into Acts. Acts chapter 1. Quick side note, Acts chapter 1 I mentioned is a history book. It's actually, though, a sequel. Who knows what book is it's a sequel to? Jim, I saw your hand first. I'm sorry? Luke, that's right. I'm sure, Thomas, you're going to say the same thing. It's a sequel to Luke. If you look at the beginning of Luke and the beginning of Acts, you see this little introduction to someone named Theophilus. And so Luke was sort of volume one, Acts is volume two. Luke was the one who recorded the book of Acts. What's interesting is as you're reading the book of Acts, it goes from third person tone to first person plural. In other words, from he did this, she did this, to now we went here, we went there. And so what is understood is that Luke at some point, he's there in the action. He goes from the person who researched and collected the data and reported it to you, to himself being one of the firsthand witnesses of what was going on. So that's kind of neat to see. Looking at Acts 1, 6 through 9. Jeff, would you read Acts 1, 6 through 9? Don't forget to unmute yourself there. Oh, maybe Jeff is not there. Okay, I'm going to assume Jeff is not there. And I am going to read Acts 1, 6 through 9. And this is Jesus talking with the disciples just before he ascends up. It says, so when they had come together,